Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is PKN Network, and I am your special guest host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and I am standing in for Elder Alicia Cooper. And this is the Healing Hour, and I am so glad to be with you on PKN tonight. I thank you for everybody who is listening. I praise God for you tuning in, and we are going to have a blessed show tonight. But you know how we do on PKN, always when we do the Healing Hour, we start with our scripture for this evening. But before I read the scripture, I cannot do this show without our co-host. And I want everybody to say hi to Megan. Say hi, Megan.
Good evening, everybody.
All right. So we are going to read our scripture for this evening. It is Colossians 3. We're going to go to Colossians 3, and we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read 1 and 2. And it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." It is so easy, guys. It is so easy to get so wrapped up in the things of this world, what's happening now, what's going on in this life, all the things that's been happening in the past 2.5 years. It is also okay to feel like, man, I'm just overwhelmed by everything that's been going on and how life has just been throwing jabs. And one day you cough and it feels like you're sick and it's over. There's so many things that plague our mind. The Word of God says, set your affections on things above. If I am in my feelings, let them be what God wants me to feel. Let it be what God wants me to understand. Don't allow how I feel to stray away from you. Don't allow my emotions to get in the way of what I'm supposed to be doing with you. If anything, change my heart that I am so wrapped up into what you want me to feel, what you want me to think, how you want me to go, that the things on this earth I will be able to shake off. So if you are going through a moment right now where you're like, yo, it's just overwhelming, I just can't take it, it's getting stressful, look up. Look up, look up, look up. Look up. Because when you set your emotions on the things above, God will take care of everything that's down here. All right? So God bless you. Read that whole entire chapter in Colossians 3, read that whole entire chapter. It will bless your life. And also, we always start the show with our evangelism tip of the week. I'm not sure what Elder has been talking about and what she's been doing, but I will throw this one in there. I've been saying this for a very long time, and I want people to get it. Evangelism is so easy. Everybody makes it seem like it's such a hard thing to do. It is the easiest thing in the world. All you're doing is talking. I know it seems like, oh my God, I got to tell somebody about Christ. It's easy. It's so simple. But I want you to start small. Don't go big. You ain't got to start big. You can start small. Here's what I want you to do. Evangelism is so easy that it is literally picking up the phone and checking on somebody and seeing if they're okay. So what I want you to do is, I don't want you to go big. You ain't got to go out there and gather about 200 people and preach the gospel. No, start small. Pick up the phone. check on somebody that you have not talked to in a very long time and tell them something simple like, I love you and God loves you too. How are you? If you can do that, then going out in the street or getting on the phone and doing a radio show or a podcast or a live, those things will come easy. But it starts with the small things, picking up the phone and just checking on somebody. So that's your evangelism tip of the evening. Now, I am going to ask our co-host, Megan, to introduce our special guest. Megan, can you introduce our guest, please?
Yes, I can. I'm very excited tonight to announce that our special guest is author, motivational speaker, founder of Bolder Faith, which is an organization that coaches you to live a better life, and my Facebook friend, Christopher Bolder. Christopher, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Welcome. All right. Welcome to the Healing Hour.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having me, and I'm excited to be on with you guys.
Awesome. All right, Christopher, I had a brief synopsis of you. I got information on the book. I said, give me some information because I don't want to get in here and not know who the guest is.
Right.
She literally, you know, gave me like a quick dissertation of who you are. So, you know, as we have guests on the show, we always ask a simple question. What is your testimony? What has God brought you through? So I'm going to ask you, what is your testimony? What has God brought you through?
Well, that's definitely a great question, and he has definitely brought me through a lot, and I'll keep it very simple and very short what he's done. I was raised by my grandparents, who were both Pentecostal charismatic preachers. My mother birthed me at the age of 12, and so I ended up living with them. She actually left me at the hospital. By her being 12 years old, of course, she's just a child herself. So that can be traumatizing within itself. I grew up in a church home, come up as a church kid, ran away from that, didn't want that church life. I knew as much as we went to church, they had us in church so much, Rev, that I knew God didn't put me on this earth just to go to church Monday through Saturday. I mean, they had us in church Monday through Tuesday, missionary meeting, Wednesday, Bible study, Thursday, Bible study again to try out what we did the night before, Friday youth service, Saturday missionary meeting to talk about what they tried, and then Sunday we tried everything we talked about all week, right? So I knew God had more for me, had to have more for me. And that was the way I kind of grew up within the church atmosphere, the church environment. Well, I kind of, as I went through high school, played sports and ball, great athlete, decent athlete, kind of got hung up watching the wrong crowd, wanted to be a class clown in the classroom and so forth. And I ended up just hanging out in the wrong crowds, hanging out in drug-infested areas. And I ended up getting introduced to the drug game and so forth. And so from then, I ended up getting my first offense ever getting in trouble, first time ever getting in trouble. And I ended up doing 6 years in prison. Those 6 years was the life of me, began to change drastically in prison. That's the moment where I encountered God. He delivered me from everything that I was addicted to, whether it was lust or women or drugs or you just name it. God just delivered me from that. And that's when he began to just change my life 360. And when I came home from prison, that's when I began to do church planning and really share what God had done, the transformation had done for me. And I really just wanted to be a trumpet to really shout out to the younger generation of my peers of that, man, there's a better way. There's a better life, and you don't have to run down the life of an addiction of chasing money to be able to make it by. And that's pretty much the short end of my testimony of what God delivered me from.
And Christopher, that is what your book is about, correct?
Correct. That's what Broken. Yeah, yes. That's what Broken is about.
Yes. So Broken is his book that can be found on Amazon,
yep.
And it's basically a young man's search for strength through the strings of confinement and tragedy on a dark path to freedom. And I actually have your book, and I think every young man, like in middle school up, should read it. I think it's just, you know, it can really, really show our youth how your life can change by one mistake.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
Wow. I know that was the short version of the testimony, and we want to dig a little deeper. First of all, you are from Canapolis. Am I saying that right?
Canapolis, yes, sir.
Canapolis, North Carolina.
Yes, Canapolis, North Carolina.
All right, now my family, I'm from Sylvania, Georgia, not Savannah, Sylvania, Georgia. And I am very close. Well, no, I'm not that far from North Carolina, from the outskirts of North Carolina and South Carolina. Now, when you said you was at church every day,
oh yeah,
that means you were also there for testimony service.
Come on,
you know exactly now. Now here's I'm gonna drive it home, but I want you to just think about this for a second. Now when I remember when I was growing up, there was a mother in the church that gave the exact same testimony every single morning. She'd get the exact same testimony every Sunday morning, and I used to be like, "Well, why mother keep giving the same old testimony?" And I mean, just the same one every God. I thank God for waking me up this morning. Thank you for blessing my children. And she would go down and listen every Sunday. She would have the exact same testimony. And I say, mother ain't got nothing else to thank God for. And now we grown, right? We grown. And, you know, I'm in ministry. You're in ministry. Do you find yourself in a position where you say, you know what, God, is this because of the book, God, thank you for this testimony, this one right here.
Mm-hmm.
And can you tell me, with 6 years of your life in prison, because you gave the short version, six years as a young man, who I guarantee did not expect 6 years to be taken away from him. One, I want to understand that journey, but I want to understand the testimony behind the journey. Can you dig into that for me, please?
Let me make sure I understand clearly so I can make sure
right,
I sound on it.
You spent okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I was saying you spent 6 years of your life in prison. Explain that journey. And give us the testimony of coming out of those 6 years in prison.
Absolutely.
All right.
You know, you can't prepare for that, what I went through. I probably can now since I've come out of it.
Right.
But going in, I'm going to give you the mindset when I went in. I'm gonna just be frank with you guys. I'm gonna be clear, because I want whoever's listening to this, they need to feel it and they need to hear it, and they may have a
right.
son or a nephew or a daughter or a niece or an auntie or an uncle that's trailing this journey or this walk. That it is hard, it's tough, it's challenging, but it was pure hell for me. And I was at a place God had put me, and at the time I didn't have the vernacular for words to even say God was doing this or God was following my steps, because I'd done the wrong and this is where it led me.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine that for me growing up in a church environment, in a church family, to where it led me to do when I have gotten in trouble with the law, to a point to where that I would even think that God would even allow me to get in such a trouble to where it would snatch six good years from my life at an early age. I was 21 at the time, 20 years old at the time. And I wouldn't ever thought that I would have gotten in trouble to where it would have snatched 6 years from me. Those first 3 years, first 2 years of me going in was absolute chaos, dysfunction, and confusion. I couldn't have told you anything about me, who I was, what I liked, what was my strengths, and what was my weaknesses. Those are interview questions. I couldn't have told you really anything about me as well I could to today. Those 6 years, man, was strenuous. I had to find guidance. I looked to other men that was in there. I didn't know anything about masculinity. I didn't know anything about manhood. I didn't know anything about raising a family. I didn't know anything about living on my own. This is the first time. So prison taught me something that Harvard didn't. And I'm going through this, learning how to be able to mask this, because they're sending me into a place where they're telling me, even though you're going in here with a bunch of murderers, a bunch of thieves, a bunch of rapists, you name it, but we want you to come out here and be creative, have purpose, come out as a man, and we want you to come out on the straight and narrow. I didn't, going through that through those 6 years, I wouldn't have never known if it was not for the grace of God and prayer that I couldn't have. I don't see how a man in good, in his right mind can even come from that type of place, that type of chaos, that type of dysfunction, can even come out and be creative and come out on his own 2 feet and stand flat-footed and become an entrepreneur and not come out begging or come out borrowing, but come out with the mindset of that, man, I am creative. I am still somebody. I am going to take my second chance and use it as my first chance. I didn't know any of those things. And so as I'm going through these 6 years, it wasn't until maybe my third year where the Lord really got a hold of me and really began to just shape my mind. And if it wasn't really me just diving into that word and really just shaping my mind, I don't know what else would have influenced me but more wrong things that got me there in the first place. I really grew in prison. I really became the man that I am today in prison. I didn't become the man I am today once I came home. I became who I am, a product of that environment. And me being a product of that environment, you can come home and be somebody. So whoever's listening to this, you're coming home from prison or you're getting ready to come home from prison, you know somebody in your family member, you can relate to what I'm sharing. You can still come home, and there is still hope and purpose for you here. You'll get the healing and the freedom that you need to live and be the best life that you ever have, as if it never happened.
Wow, amazing. I trust, you know, we all have close friends, maybe family members who don't make the switch. You know, we know a lot, you know, you all know somebody who's been in prison, who's done time, and some of our brothers and sisters, the light bulb don't go off. The change doesn't necessarily happen. Thank God that there was a pathway out or there was a transition for you. Man, I have a dear brother who did 18 years and just came home and, you know, he came home right when COVID started. And it wasn't because, you know, he committed a crime or anything, it was because he was riding in a car. And you know how that is, just riding in a car with the other guys. And, you know, so thank God that there was a transition for you. Thank God that you understood the growth past the prison. If there is a snippet or a key, just some nuggets from your book that you could give our guests, if you could give us just like a little nugget from the book, what would that be?
Yeah, sure. One of my favorites, honestly, from my book that I love to talk about or share, honestly. One of the breaking points for me, I say this first, and then I go to the next one. That what you just shared, that a lot of people don't, or some people, men or women, they just don't get that switch. They don't really, that turn don't really happen for them. Like a turning of the key in the morning, like we don't even consciously think about it. We just turn the key in the ignition or the push button, and we just going about our day. Like some people just don't get that turnover. Like it just don't click. But I realized for me that it was this quote that I have from a book, is a changed mind in prison is tougher than a changed heart in the free world. A changed mind in prison is tougher than a changed heart in the free world. And many people would kind of most likely counteract that because of the fact that, oh, there's not many distractions in there. You don't really have this. It's more influences and distractions in prisons than they are in the free world. And some people won't be able to relate to that for the fact that they have not never been there. But when I tell you there's so many distractions when it comes to people, influence, different cultures, different opinions of what people, different advice, horrible wisdom, horrible advice from different individuals from all over in prison. We're talking from people who've made some of the best mistakes in their life and yet have not yet even within themselves found the remorse or the forgiveness to even move forward and say, man, you know what? I made a mistake. I need to move forward. And for people in, for the individuals in there that have made that switch, when you've made that committed, I mean a truly committed, just like a truly repentant person to say, man, I'm turning away. I'm turning the old leaf. I'm turning from that. It's a new day for me. I'm no longer the old Christopher. I'm a new creature. When that person that's in prison has made that true, whole, holistic mindset of a change during the fact that they're still doing time and they have all the time in the day. I mean, real, we got all the time. Megan, we got all the time in the day to read and really self-develop and self-care and really work on us. Can you imagine that type of individual coming home into the free world and being so determined and won't take a no for an answer and so won't be denied for anything and just determined to be on the straight and narrow and go after their heart's desire? That's a dangerous individual for me. And I told myself that I was going to be that individual when I had come home because I wasn't going to take any no's for an answer, that I knew that there was hope and there was purpose for me. My next point was for me, I was at a point, and I'll be honest with you, I'll be real transparent here, you know, on the radio show with you guys, since we're just chopping it up and being honest. I'll be honest with you, I was at a point to where even during that process, man, I was mad at God. I was mad at anything. I was bitter. I had resentment in my heart. And I was questioning God. I had questioned, is God real? I needed answers, but not just answers for head knowledge. I needed proof, because everybody has an answer until it's time to prove it. And that's a quote from my book, and it's a snippet from my book of when I was at a point to where, man, I really wanted to try God for himself. And I told God, sitting on my bunk one day, and I was in prison, I said, God, I want to get to know the God, not that my grandmother and grandfather and them preach about and shout about, but I want to get to know you for myself. And that was the moment where the new leaf really turned for me, because God really started revealing himself to me, started opening up things to me. His word opened up at another level. I no longer just needed just head knowledge, but it went the 18 inches from my head to my heart. And that's the moment that it really just kicked in for me that, man, that God was real and that he cares for me, that he hears my prayers, and that I'm not walking in this path. I'm not doing this thing alone. And that's when God really began to just trickle his heart down and to really seep down into my soul. I give you one more. It's one of my faves. I don't know why, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It says, your visions need faith, and your plans are seeds that need to be planted to grow. I'll repeat that first part again. Your visions need faith, and your plans are seeds that need to be planted to grow. Prepare for adversity and let your discipline be greater than your motivation. I'll say that again. Let your discipline be greater than your motivation. Well, I tell people all the time, as much as I can when I get a chance to get into their ear, that your discipline, one of the key factors that I had to learn in prison is that, I mean, you have to instill discipline anywhere. It does not necessarily have to be in that environment, but even in the world we're living in today, in the environment, our workspace, our family, marriages, children, you have to create discipline. Because you can motivate me. I can go on Facebook and get a good quote in the morning. I'm motivated for that, you know, for that first part of the day. Like, I'm great. But it's discipline is what's going to sustain me. I may sign up at the gym today. I may work out for a good 2-3 weeks straight. but it's going to be my discipline that's going to make me consistent. That's what's going to prepare me to make it through adversity. That's what's going to make me eat better. It's what's going to give me a better mindset to want to stay consistent and stay persistent and stay at it, even when I don't, when I'm less motivated and don't want to go. It's my discipline that counteracts that to keep me consistent, to continue to do what I know is best for me to do, because I've known where I've come from. Only you know where you've been. Only you know your past experiences. Only you know your encounters and what led you to where you've been. Only you know why you think and talk the way you talk. So it's discipline that's what's going to keep sustain you and make the best and make a better you.
Amen. Christopher, that the second point that you were, the second snippet that you were talking about where you said you had to, you know, you were questioning if God was real and you wanted to know him for your yourself. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading in your book, you had asked God, you know, if you're real to deliver you from smoking. And, mm-hmm. you know, you said the next morning, like, you were choking on the secondhand smoke. What like, led you, you know, our topic for this show is purpose and pain. Like, what led you to that point? Like, were you just in pain being in prison? Like, the, you know, your circumstances that you began to question if God was real, like, for yourself, you know, what really led you to that?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys, if I can be frank. I had a horrible weed smoking problem. I could not stop smoking that weed. Like, I enjoyed smoking weed at this time, of course, when I, you know, set up this prayer up to God. And I was giving it a wing and a prayer. I mean, I don't know if he was going to do it or how this is going to happen or what to even think of anything. But I really wanted to give God a shot in my life. Like, I really wanted to submit. And I never up until this point submitted to anything. I've always, like, I'm a chess player. I'm not loyal to no pieces. And I really wanted to give God a shot into my life. I really wanted to be faithful to him, but I knew it was going to be something that I needed to give up as well. So I knew at that time it was me. I was smoking weed. So I went to church that Sunday. It was on a Sunday, June of 2008. I never forget. I went to church that day. The word was good. I mean, coming up in church, I've heard a million messages. It was nothing much new. I just knew that the ingrained in me, I had to really make that ultimate decision. So I came back to my bunk that night, and I was smoking a cigarette in the dorm. I had a bit of smoking a cigarette in the dorm. I'm doing it the low way, no guards looking. And after I finished, I was about halfway through finishing the cigarette, and I just looked up towards the ceiling. I said, "Lord, man, if you're real, this is probably the only favor I probably really ask until later." I said, "But at this moment, Lord, if you're real, I was done with my environment, Megan. I know I was done with my environment. I think I had done gave my all my observation of the guys around me that I am better than this. Like, this is for the birds. Like, this place wasn't for me. I don't ever even imagine seeing myself back in prison with these guys. Like, this isn't my role. Like, this is not in me." And I was at that point, and I just wanted to just cease any distraction that could cause it or lead it even further. I said, "Man, if you're giving up some weed, that's it. And let's see if it's happening. So I shot this prayer up to God. I said, "Lord, if you hear me, if you're real," I talked to him like I'm talking to you guys now. Like, it was just straight up. It wasn't no "Our Father." It wasn't no preliminary of words. It was just a straight up conversation. I said, "Lord, man, if you're real, man, if you can deliver me from smoking, I said, man, I promise you I'll serve you. Yeah, I said, I don't know how it's going to look in the future, but I do the best I can to my ability. If you can deliver me from smoking." I kid you not. And it was around about 9 o'clock that night. That next morning, now, guys always smoke in the dorm. We always sneak in and smoking in between lockers of how we can get by to get a smoke before they open up the yard. And this guy was over me in between the lockers just smoking. And I just woke up to just inhaling to this secondhand, like, I'm gagging. And they choke, they checking on me like, "Man, you all right? You all right?" I'm like, "I'm all right." I'm like, "Man, that smoke choking me." They were like, "Man, but you smoke." And then from that moment, I just told him, like, "I don't think I do no more." And from that very moment, I haven't even touched that ever since then. And I knew that was a full deliverance of God just snatching that taste out of my mouth ever since then. And it was one of my moments of trying God and proving, seeing it, how it really is in my life.
Wow. Do you think at that moment, like, that was like the turning point for you in prison to start following God and reaching out to him and using him while you were in there?
Absolutely. I mean, from that moment, I mean, I was like a kid in the candy store. I mean, I ran the Papa. I called him Papa. I ran the Papa for every little thing. I questioned God on everything. I invited him in on all my decisions. I mean, even just in that small environment in prison, it was a great introduction for me to really just test God and get to know God and talk to him and question him and ask. Like, I was no longer fret from the traditional church that I grew up in. You can't ask God no questions. Don't talk to God like that. You don't be saying it. Like, it broke me from – it detoxed me from that because my relationship with God was different. He invited me into those corners, into those chambers to ask questions. He invited me in to try him. He invited me in to try – I was tithing in prison with making 70 cents a day. like he invited me in and he would bless that. Like, it was those moments, those little bit of moments, man, where God and he allowed me to come into just like a secret place. And it was like, even though I was in there, I didn't feel it. After that point in 2008, and I came home in 2012, from that moment forward, it was, even though physically I was in prison, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I was home. I was already home.
So it's safe to say, like, you found God for yourself through in prison.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just want to remind anyone that's listening, our callers, if you have any questions or comments, you can dial 1 at any time and we will get with you. Christopher, when you were released from prison, like, did you jump right into ministry or what was that like?
No, I didn't. Honestly, when I first came home from prison, I had no intentions in pastoring. That wasn't necessarily like my call. When I came home from prison, I just wanted to be able to start a mentorship program of just seeking out young men and young women and just really shooting them guidance, mentorship program, so to speak, of showing them a different way. Like, this ain't it. I would go back into the neighborhoods where I used to get in trouble at and sell drugs and things like that. I was going back after mentoring and talking to them and hanging out with them and just trying to be that light in that environment, so to speak. That was it. Ministry kind of just failed to me. Like, it was just an open door that I had took because it was opportunity to spread my platform. And also, I was on fire. You know, I was zealous when I came home from prison. And that's really how that opened. So I started, but I ended up pastoring pretty quickly. I came home in 2012, the summer. I started opening my first church plant in the late 2013.
And then tell us about your organization, Boulder Faith.
Yes, Boulder Faith. Boulder Faith it was my wife's idea. During the pandemic, you know, everything was shifting. We was trying to circle the clock on how we continue witnessing, how we can continue reaching out to people. And it's a cliche because it's also my last name. And it just flowed real naturally, Boulder Faith, having Boulder Faith. And then the Lord just hit me like one night randomly, like people always ask for more. And the Lord has already granted us the measure of faith that we all need. And then it just hit me that we shouldn't ask for more faith. We should just make bold the faith that we have. And that's when Boulder Faith just kind of just cliched off. And that's how that is. And Boulder Faith is just a mentorship program. It's motivational speaking, of course. And I also do preaching. But what we do is we just evangelize to individuals, peers, young adults, older, of having bolder faith, expressing our faith and who we are. In small groups, we do Bible studies, we travel out, we do mentorship programs, and the work's pretty much it.
That's awesome. I think your testimony sure shows that there is purpose in pain. Again, Christopher Boulder's book can be found on Amazon. It is called Broken. Do you have any, what would you, what would you tell, like, you know, do you have any advice for anybody that's listening that may have, like, a son or family member that is, you know, not going down the right path but really doesn't know God either? Like, what advice could you give them?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I probably will share often with many young, a lot of sons and daughters or nieces and nephews, so to speak, or people who are really being challenged at the place to where they are. Not only, first off, not only are you living, it's your life and it's your free will. You can continue to do what you want to do. You can continue to live in that life. You can continue with that challenge, whatever that is, that addiction that's kind of carrying you through where you're going. But I also want to remind you, that's a perfect reminder for myself, that that moment that I was in that courtroom when the judge was giving me my sentence, and the way I heard my grandmother scream in pain and in tears and in agony, that was the realization moment that you're not only just doing living a life of, for yourself, but you also are hurting and affecting the lives of others that silently and loudly support you, the people who really care for you the most, the people that are really in your corner, that are bagging you, that are dishing it out with you, that you're hurting them too, and we hurt them by the mistakes and the awesome, and just by the choices that we make on a day-to-day basis. I want to remind you to reconsider that for them, for even for a moment. If you ever get a time to reflect, just really consider how much when you say that you love them, but you make the opposite counter decisions that we make, to think about how much more that you really sense you love them, that you really don't really care how much love they're pouring into you and support they're giving you when we make these high-end decisions that are reckless and sometimes end up causing us to prison or some other place that we don't want to be that separates us from our family or loved ones. I also want to say to them too that, man, that hope isn't lost. That you're probably closer to purpose than you think you are. That you don't have to continue being in the streets or searching some other end out to make ends meet or some other lost direction where you are. So being disobedient or negligent to wherever you may be, whatever your circumstance may be. I can't name them all by name. But whatever your situation is, you know the thing that attacks you. You know the thing that you're wrestling with. You know the thing that you're dealing with. That there's a better way. There's hope. There are individuals out here that want to help, like myself, to show you that there's other ways that you can do this. That there's purpose, and that you don't have to continue trying to lead while bleeding. And that you can also get the help and the restitution that you need to be more powerful and to be your best self and to walk into a greater calling that God has for you, that you want to be. And for the rest of your life, that you can set yourself up for the best you for the rest of your life without having to go through so many errors and so many trials and so many difficulties, because there are so many people out here at your disposal that want to help you become a better you.
Amen. Thank you. And if there's anybody listening that may, like, want to reach out to you or, you know, refer you, like, is there any way that someone can reach you?
Absolutely. Email is boldoffaith2020@gmail.com. They can also hit me on social media. I'm very active on social media and I respond back. It's Christopher Boulder on Instagram and Christopher Boulder on Facebook.
Okay, thank you. So listeners, again, that's Christopher Boulder on both Facebook and Instagram.
Awesome. Quick question. Now, I know that you're a husband and a father, correct?
Yes, correct.
All right. How is that transition? And how many kids you have?
I have 4 kids. I have 3 with my wife, and I have an older daughter. She's at Penn State University.
Oh, man, okay, cool.
My 3 with my wife, Brooklyn, she's the oldest. She's 8. TJ, he's my junior. He's 6. And a little Ezekiel, he just turned 4.
Wow. All right, you beat me by 1. I got 3. But I ain't trying to race you now. I'm
going
to let you win that race.
Yeah. That ain't a race you want to run.
I'm going to let you win that race. How was the transition of stepping into fatherhood and also being a husband, being as though you had a lot of time being taken away from? Was it a very hard transition?
I'll be honest with you. It was. It is. I'm going to say was. It is. It's a very hard transition. For one, I have to counteract the fact that I have a anchor on my back, which we call a letter L. I have a felony. So employment at times, I have to go the entrepreneur route because it was always hard for me to find employment, to get a second chance.
Right.
And then on top of that, I never was taught or seen fatherhood in the home. So I never was taught what parenting would look like. And so I had to learn this by the grasp. I mean, I'm reading the mom parenting books and mom birth. I'm showing up on all those classes. I'm getting it all, brother. I'm YouTubing stuff. And how to discipline children and how – and then another thing I had to learn because I grew up getting whoopings. You know, we got beat. Let me say correctly. We got beat.
Mama,
she picked up anything that was nearer. You know, times have changed. Real times have changed, real. They call the police. The kids call the police.
I had to
really mentally and still psychologically, like, and still, and I'm in school. I'm still learning all these curves and these turns on how to parent and how to be a great father. Because at the end of the day, I have to still remind myself, because that was one of the turns for me, not to answer a double question what Megan was asking earlier, but when she was asking me about home and how I view God and when my relationship went into him, it was tough for me because, and I answered both of those questions here in the statement, it was tough for me because I didn't really want to get to know God at that point because I view God as how my grandparents treated me. And they beat me and was mean and it was wrath and it was just church. And I knew good and well that if God, if you like my grandmother, I'm good. Like, we don't need to. Sorry, no, that's, I don't want no, you know what I mean? I'm good, bro. Like, I'm good. And so when God really, like I was saying, God really invited me into that space, like, he really showed me his grace and his love. Like, yo, this is different. And you don't have to, you don't have to raise children out of animosity and fear and frustration and being feeling like you're defeated already at their mistakes. So, it, like I said, it's a challenge, brother. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. But I'm learning. I'm picking up the pieces as I go. My wife is gracious. So, you know, like, we're doing it, you know. And that's one of the things that I had to, and learning as I do this thing. I got three kiddos in the home. I got an older daughter. So our relationship is different because those 6 years that I lost a lot of her years growing up. So we look at, I'm looking, you know, she's looking at me like, you, who's this guy? I'm looking at her like, man, I got to learn this kid, you know, like, and you're older now. So our conversation is different. You know, I can't just, you know, my advice to her has to be with humility and with grace and with patience because she might not have received it as my three that are in the home. And I had to, you know, I had to work that, massage that thing. And it's tough. But God has been good, and I'm being patient with it. I'm sticking it out, and I'm waiting my time, and it's coming around. So I'm thankful for it.
Awesome. We definitely want to keep you in prayer. As a husband and a father, man, it's not easy. And in ministry, it's not easy. We got to wear so many hats, and sometimes you don't get to take all the hats off, so you got a whole bunch of hats on one hand, and it gets heavy. It gets heavy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, I admire when a person, you know, is able to, you know, just say, look, this is hard. I, you know, everybody try to make it seem like it's easy. No, I know what it is.
It's hard. It's hard.
You know, when you got to labor in front of a flock and labor at home and be a husband and be a father and, you know, and still be a man that walks with integrity and, you know, you won't get everything right and you ain't going to make every call right. And, hey, and the brunt of everything, even good, even when you're doing right, the brunt of everything still falls on you. So, you know, we just bless God that you're able to weather the storm. And we want to pray for your endurance too, man, because
absolutely.
We got a lot more to go. We got a lot more time to go. God is raising up some men and women in this last generation that's going to take the world by storm. You know what I mean? But at this time, it is time for what we call the most important part of the show. This is our call to salvation. everything that we've been talking about so far has led up to one thing. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? This is why we do what we do. This is why we have the conversations that we have, because there is somebody out there who needs Jesus. You know, we just talked to Pastor, and he just let us know, look, there was a rough point in his life, and if it wasn't for the grace of God bringing him through, he would not be who he is today. Everybody who is listening has had a moment in their life. And even if you have not had a physical prison, you may have been in an emotional prison. You may have been in a spiritual prison. You may have even been in a mental prison. And it may have been longer than 6 years. The only person that can unlock that door, the only person that can free you from that place, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So if you're listening and you say, well, how do I get this Jesus? How do I get to know this man? I'm going to tell you that it is so easy. It is the easiest thing you can do. First, the Bible tells us that we must confess with our mouth, and then it tells you that we must believe with our hearts. It is a confession and it is a belief. So if you're listening right now, it is very simple. All you're saying is, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I am a sinner. And not only did he die for my sins, but he rose on the third day for my sins. Come into my heart. Change my heart. I want to make you Lord over my life. If you make that confession that he died, that you are a sinner, that you understand and believe that he is resurrected for your sins and he is in heaven right now advocating for you. If you believe that, you are saved. It is just that simple. It is a belief and it is a confession. Now, for some of you who made that profession, for some of you who said that words, there may be an emotional experience right now. The Holy Spirit may be just pushing on your heart and you may be overwhelmed. And that is a wonderful experience. But for some, you may feel like, well, I didn't get that. I didn't get that overwhelming, you know, transition. I didn't just get this big emotional burst. That's okay. As long as you confessed and as long as you believed, you're saved. Now, here's the biggest part of all this, the best part of all this. The Bible says that when one person gets saved, the angels celebrate. So right now, heaven is throwing a party because you decided to get saved. Heaven is throwing a party because you decided to get saved. So if heaven is partying, what do you think we're doing? We're celebrating too. So we're going to pray because we believe that through this conversation, through Pastor Chris, through his book, through his evangelism efforts, through everything that God has put into this man, we believe that as he spoke, it touched somebody's heart. So we're going to pray, and we're going to thank God for what his words has done for those who are listening. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are a healing God. We thank you that you are overcoming God. We thank you that you are a God who never leaves us or forsakes us, God. We thank you that you are a God who listens, God. We thank you that you are a God who will walk with us through the mud. We thank you, Father, that you are God who will take on our burdens. And God, we even thank you that sometimes you allow us to get dirty. You allow us to feel the pain. You allow us to go through the process. God, we thank you that sometimes you allow us to hit our head and learn the lesson. But we understand that even after walking through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. So God, as those who we believe, God, save from hearing our guests, God, begin to work on their hearts, begin to work on their lives, begin to transition something, begin to turn something around, begin to dig up those hard fallow places, God. Allow them to transition into good soil so you can plant good seeds. We believe that Pastor Chris planted some seeds today. We believe that there were some things being watered today, God, but we also know for a fact that with all that has been done, you will get the increase. So, Father, take control. Take over. Take over. And let the glory of the Lord reign. God, we also pray for Pastor and his family and his wife and his children and his ministry, that if he grows, as he grows in you, everybody else will. That there will be nothing stagnant in his life. That he will be emotionally heard. That he will be able to navigate the storms of life. That the chains, past and the chains of ministry while learning will not affect him, but they will break. That the help will come. That the help will come. Oh God, and that he will be able to find people in his life that he can trust to carry the torch. God, as he begins to move and travel and carry the ministry, that he's able to leave the flock and know that everything will be safe. That he will be able to trust the next transition of his ministry. That he will be able to see the manifestation of what you called him to do. Father, we even pray for Megan right now that you touch her growth, that the help comes, that the ministry that you put on the inside of her will not get delayed by fear. It will not get delayed by what she used to be, but the testimony will be the path to the ministry. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for what you are doing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
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 Amen. Listen, y'all, we are going to bring on Pastor Toy. She's going to give us our announcements. And after that, we're going to hand it to our guests and we're going to take it away. Pastor, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Praise the Lord, everybody. I'm at a loss of words. I'm at a loss of words. Man of God, let me tell you how my spirit jumped as you shared with us this evening. The host from last night's ministry and the guest that called in, it was Mother Janice Hudson, and the person that called in was Reverend Maureen Lee. They just spoke about you. I didn't know it was you, but they just spoke about you. And what they said was, We need a man of God who has been in the street, but God has turned around. They just spoke about you. Before I go into the announcements, man of God, when we're finished this evening, if you could please go on Facebook, look up Purpose Kingdom Network, and send me a message with how to get directly in touch with you, sir.
Okay.
God for you. I bless
thank
God
you.
And I thank God for you. We thank and bless God for Sister Megan and for Reverend Arthur standing in this evening for Elder Alicia Cooper. I'm trying to get myself together, y'all. I'm sorry that I'm thank you, Lord. Listen, for that soul out there who we believe gave their life to Christ, we want to encourage you to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary, where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Until you do, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here, just for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 8:30 p.m. 8:30 p.m., we will be broadcasting another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network with the ministry In Search of the Truth and the host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson. Again, 8:30 p.m. with In Search of the Truth and the host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, right here on www.pknradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. I'm sorry. I'm so confused right now. www.blogtalkradio.com. www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Hallelujah, God. 8:30 p.m. You can follow us on social media via any of our social media pages. We are on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. You can also follow us via our webpage, which is www.pknradio.com, where you can reach out to the different hosts as well as be blessed to listen to gospel music 24 hours a day. However, we do know that the radio station is down right this second. The website is down right this second. It will be back up, according to the technicians, tomorrow morning. So please join us at www.pknradio.com. Again, Megan, Reverend Art, wonderful, wonderful message and word this evening. Pastor Christopher, I bless God for you, and the ministry is back in y'all's hands to close us out.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Pastor, is there anything else you would like to say before we wrap up? And also, again, give people your contact information, tell people your ministry and how they can get you on social media.
Absolutely. And once again, thank you all for the invite and the opportunity to come on and speak and share. It's been a pleasure. I'm delighted. I send blessings and peace to you all. And to continue the further of you guys' ministry with this network, this thing here, I believe God is going to even expand it even farther, not only just locally and globally, but it's going to impact nations. And so I'm just so thankful that people are going to be able to tune in and be able to get here and get the healing that they need just through the radio. So I'm thankful for that opportunity as well. If you want to look me up, you can also email me at BoulderFaith2020@gmail.com. You can also look me up on Instagram at It's Christopher Boulder, and on Facebook, of course, Christopher Boulder. Also the CEO and founder of Boulder Faith, and I am a church planner, and we are in the next coming weeks, the last week of June, we will be moving to Boston, Massachusetts, to plant a church in the next 2 years. So be praying for us and our divers on that as we get ready to move on up north from North Carolina and take the southern vernacular on up there to them people up there to spread the gospel and continue impacting lives up there to hear the word, man, and that God be able to transform them and that people may change and grow and by the grace of God. So thank you. Thank you all again for the opportunity.
Awesome. We definitely going to keep that in prayer. Megan, before we wrap up, anything that you want to say, how to reach you, how to get the books and everything like that?
Yeah, I am on Facebook as Megan Rogers, and my book, Meet Mason, is available on Amazon as well. And I do publicly want to thank Christopher for, we are Facebook friends, and during my process of writing my book, I did reach out to him and ask him for little pointers here and there. And I do thank you for your help in that. And I always feel like God always, you know, places people in my life, like right when I need them. And, you know, I really appreciate your, you know, you really didn't know me at all, but you helped me. And I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome. Anytime. Praise God. Praise God. Real quick, guys, for all those who are listening, Philadelphia Christian Fashion, that is my organization, and I have the only Christian Fashion Week platform in the country. We are doing our next June 26th. We are expecting 750 people. We are promoting all faith-based companies, all faith-based designers, all faith-based businesses. This is what we do. We promote Christian businesses. So if you want to buy tickets, pcfweek.com, check out our Instagram, Philadelphia Christian Fashion Week, IG, and Facebook. God bless you. Y'all have a great night. TK and we out.
Good night.
Good night.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.